are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain with Dr. John Hayes, author of the bestseller, Beating Neuropathy, Taking Misery to Miracles in Just 5 Weeks. Here is Dr. John Hayes.
Well, hi, everybody. Good evening once again. This is Dr. John Hayes, and I'd like to welcome everybody to this very special edition of Beating Neuropathy Radio. And what we're going to do tonight is to spend some time talking about one of the most common forms of neuropathy called small fiber neuropathy. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody that should you have any general questions, you can reach us 24/7 online, and the best place to do that for questions is to go to facebook.com/beatingneuropathy. Also, don't forget to register your information at neuropathydr.com and take advantage of our free ebook download, which is right on that site. And you can also, of course, get the link to previous radio shows as well as our weekly brief TV episodes, which, again, are done online for you and your convenience. I also want to remind everybody that should you like to learn more, our books and many, many fine books, of course, are also available at Amazon.com. So without any further delay, what I'd like to do is to talk about tonight a type of neuropathy that is extraordinarily common and unfortunately becoming much, much more common. It's no secret that as a society, especially in modern societies, modern developed countries, that by and large we are becoming sicker rather than healthier. And so much of this is lifestyle related. And by lifestyle we mean our exercise habits, our dietary habits, our overall pace of life, especially in the United States, where we very infrequently rest, take breaks as we should, and so on. All these things have a tremendous effect on our health. Now, for lots of patients with neuropathy, and of course the reason I'm mentioning this is that it seems like the illness just hits you with a sledgehammer. In other words, you wake up one day, your feet are burning, and before this you might have just had some intermittent symptoms, some little bit of light tingling that went away, but sooner or later neuropathy progresses. It gets so bad that many, many people have extraordinary difficulty trying to get a grip on small fiber neuropathy. So obviously prevention is the best cure, period. In terms of treating the neuropathy, the longer the neuropathy has been and the more severe it is, the more challenging it can become. But let's dive into this a little bit, and I want to let anybody know who is a healthcare professional or has an interest in learning much more about this. The references for this particular radio show actually come from two places. One is from the National Institutes of Health. There is a public access manuscript entitled Diagnosis and Treatment of Pain in Small Fiber Neuropathy. There's also an excellent article for healthcare professionals that was published in the Cleveland Clinic Journal of Medicine. And this was published some time ago. Still a wonderful article. You can find it online. It is indexed at PubMed. It actually was published in May of 2009 for those of you who want to do further research on small fiber neuropathy. But anyhow, the term small fiber actually refers to the diameter of the nerves themselves. In the human body, and in most mammals, there are two basic nervous systems. There's the central nervous system, which consists of the brain and the spinal cord, and then there is the peripheral nervous system. And the peripheral nervous system is made up of the nerves and the nerve endings, which basically connect the brain and spinal cord to the periphery, in other words, the rest of the body. And there are several different ways that the messages are communicated back and forth, but the primary method is along nerve fibers. Nerve fibers are sometimes called axons. The axons are the long processes that actually extend away from the nerve cells. So, for example, those nerves that actually innervate our feet, the nerves actually live deep in the spinal cord around the base of the rib cage. But the processes, or the axons, or the fibers, if you will, that extend out of the spine actually go all the way down to the big toe. And a similar thing happens in your cervical spine or neck, where the actual origin of the nerves themselves is in the spinal cord and the neck, but yet the nerve endings are extending all the way down to the fingertips. For sake of discussion here, let's just say there are a couple different types of nerve fibers. In reality, there are several, but for purposes of this discussion, small fibers are narrow in diameter. They are largely unmyelinated, meaning they don't have a myelin or protective sheath or have very little, and they tend to conduct their impulses relatively slow. And these are the nerve fibers that commonly conduct sensations such as pain and temperature. Now, there are other nerve fibers called large fibers. Large fiber involvement is more typical of different types of degenerative diseases, and it has a different presentation. In large fiber neuropathy, there tends to be weakness. There tends to be muscle involvement. In small fiber neuropathy, it doesn't happen at all. So the term small and large refer to the diameter of the nerve itself, but the presentation, of course, can be dramatically different. Because small fibers are really the nerves that supply sensations such as pain and temperature, the most common symptoms that patients will present with are pain and paresthesias. Now, paresthesias are tingling, numbness, are the most common words, but other patients will describe words like shooting, cramping, you name it. In our clinics, we have seen and heard patients describe small fiber neuropathy in a number of different ways. It's also very important to keep in mind that pain is a phenomena which has many different components. It has emotional components. It has nervous system overlay components, meaning that there are certain things that will make pain responses different in one patient versus another, and hence the reason for a difference in description. It's also a good idea to note that small fiber neuropathy is more common as we get older. Some of the reason for this should be obvious. In other words, it's more common to have many diseases as we get older, but also when we talk about unknown types of neuropathy, or what's called idiopathic neuropathy, we find that it tends to occur in patients that are older. So very, very important to understand this. One of the other things to understand is that this is not a small problem at all. According to the Cleveland Clinic Journal article that we referenced tonight, what they said back in 2009, and I know the number is actually higher now, the estimated numbers were that there are up to 20 million people in the United States alone, over 40, that have some type of peripheral neuropathy. And many, many times, this is a small fiber neuropathy. The presentation, as we said earlier, largely consists of pain, burning, tingling, and numbness, and it's described as what's called a length-dependent fashion or distribution. Let me describe that a little bit before we take our first break. Length-dependent simply means that small fiber neuropathy tends to affect the longest nerve fibers first. So what this would mean is that the feet would commonly be affected first because they are, in fact, the longest nerve fibers. If you were to measure the difference from the base of your rib cage down to the tip of your great toe, you would see that it is really quite some distance. Whereas the second longest nerves would be the nerves that extend from the neck into the hands. In other words, if you were to measure the distance from your neck down to the tips of, say, your index finger, you would see that this distance is shorter than the distance from the base of the rib cage down to the tip of the toes. Well, because small fiber neuropathy is a length-dependent neuropathy, what happens is the feet are affected first, and the feet are sometimes affected for years before patients ever have symptoms in the hands. Once hand symptoms have started to occur, it usually is a sign that the neuropathy has progressed. Now, of course, this can occur faster if you have had small fiber neuropathy caused by exposure to some type of chemical agent or toxin or virus or other type of thing that can cause a small fiber neuropathy, the time span between the development of symptoms in the hands and the feet can be rather short. But for the purposes of general discussion, we want patients to know that when you do start to experience peripheral neuropathy symptoms, especially the small fiber variety, tends to occur primarily in the feet, and this is really a warning sign, if you will, that something has gone wrong. So never, ever should one ignore tingling, numbness, and especially burning and pain that persists for any time at all. You are listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio. We're going to take a couple minutes for a break, and we'll be back shortly.
Are you one of the 20 million Americans suffering the misery of neuropathy? Many people just like you have discovered there is now very effective and affordable treatment for diabetic post-chemotherapy shingles and other type of neuropathy and chronic pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program was developed by Dr. John Hayes and is now being used by many doctors and physical therapists around the USA. There are lots of patient resources for you at neuropathydr.com. But the best news of all, now you can talk directly to Dr. John Hayes by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a neuropathy analysis by phone or in person for yourself or a loved one free of charge. But hurry, you must act today. Don't forget, call right now, 781-659-7989, while neuropathy analysis slots are still open. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Everybody, this is Dr. John Hayes. Welcome back to tonight's radio show. This is Beating Neuropathy Radio, of course, and this particular show is on small fiber neuropathy. You know, before the break, we were talking about the description of small fiber neuropathy, and we said that it is the type of neuropathy that affects nerves that are small in diameter, typically nerves that conduct the sensations of pain, temperature, and so on. But what we haven't done yet is to talk about the causes of small fiber neuropathy, and this is very, very important because when clinicians search hard enough, and again, the key is hard enough, we are able to identify an underlying cause well over 50% of the time. And this is very important because if we can identify an underlying cause, and most especially if we can treat that cause, then not only can we treat the patient's neuropathy symptoms, but sometimes we can actually treat the underlying disease process effectively, and that may, of course, reduce or in some cases actually eliminate the neuropathy. Now, some of the more common causes of small fiber neuropathy, number one on my list would be what's called metabolic syndrome. For those of you who listen to our program or read our work, you know that metabolic syndrome is something we talk about all the time. And basically, metabolic syndrome is one of the most common health hazards of modern day, especially in developed countries like the United States. Metabolic syndrome occurs primarily because we gain too much weight over time and we become inactive as adults, as a general rule. So the cure, basically, for metabolic syndrome is to control weight, which is largely done via diet and exercise. And now that, of course, is easier said than done if you've had it for a long time. But the most frightening thing for me as a clinician with regard to metabolic syndrome is we're now seeing patients as early as their late 30s developing very significant peripheral neuropathy as a result of being morbidly obese. Unfortunately, the older you get, the worse this becomes and the more difficult it does become to manage. But some of the other causes of small fiber neuropathy that oftentimes we have to search for as clinicians would be things like connective tissue diseases. Connective tissue diseases, one that comes to mind is lupus. And there are some related disorders along the same lines, sometimes called seronegative arthropathies, meaning that conditions that affect the soft tissues and the joints but don't necessarily show up on laboratory diagnosis like rheumatoid arthritis would, for example. Also, disease known as sarcoidosis. Thyroid disease, it can be a cause of peripheral neuropathy, small fiber neuropathy in particular, and it's very important to understand that. Unfortunately, thyroid disease is something that also occurs rampantly in modern society, and it tends to sometimes manifest as fibromyalgia. Now, interestingly, those of you who have been following us online know that a recent study done in March of 2013 shows that patients who are diagnosed with fibromyalgia may actually have a small fiber neuropathy. Now, this makes sense when you also understand that a significant number. Some estimates place it as well over 50% of patients diagnosed with fibromyalgia actually have underlying thyroid disease. So again, here's the connection. Another cause of small fiber neuropathy can be vitamin B12 deficiency. Vitamin B12 deficiency can be dietary related, especially if you consume a strictly vegan diet with no dietary supplementation, or it's more commonly the result of malabsorption, meaning that your body does not absorb B12 either due to a malabsorption syndrome or what's called pernicious anemia, where your body lacks the specific cofactor that the stomach lining needs to take vitamin B12 up. And this is something that also develops over a long period of time. HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, can cause small fiber neuropathy, as can other viruses. Drugs, chemotherapy drugs, certain other drugs can be neurotoxic, meaning they affect the nerves and axons, and some affect the nerve cells, thus resulting in neuropathy. Here we're talking, of course, about those neurotoxic agents or drugs that may affect the axons or the fibers that make up the small fiber nerve that we're discussing tonight. Also, a potentially more dangerous situation would be an undiagnosed cancer. Patients can have an undiagnosed cancer, and unfortunately, one of the initial manifestations of this could be small fiber neuropathy, which again highlights the necessity for making sure that you're working with a knowledgeable clinician and that everything you possibly can learn about your neuropathy should be done, and the earlier the better. And when we take our next break, we come back from it, rather, we're going to talk about diagnosing small fiber neuropathy, because this is another issue entirely altogether. So you, once again, are listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Hold on, and we'll be back in just 60 seconds.
Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Welcome back to tonight's episode, Beating Neuropathy Radio. Tonight we're talking about small fiber neuropathy. And what I'd like to do with the time I have remaining is to talk a little bit more about the diagnosis of small fiber neuropathy, because unfortunately, this is one of the most frustrating things that we deal with both as clinicians and patients. And the reason for that is that many, many times, typical tests that are done for patients with neuropathy, things like EMGs or electromyograms, nerve conduction studies, and so on, are essentially normal. Also, sometimes the physical examination, unless it's done in great detail, can be interpreted as being normal. Now, if an expert will take the time and really pursue things like sensory examination, meaning how you can feel certain objects. In other words, can you differentiate sharp from dull? Can you differentiate, say, the bristles of a brush or something even finer or not? These are oftentimes the things that will help us diagnose small fiber neuropathy rather than any fancy test, which can be normal. Again, this is very, very important to understand. It is also entirely possible to undergo what's called a skin punch biopsy, which is where a small amount of tissue is taken to measure nerve fibers. And in some cases of small fiber neuropathy, the biopsy can be negative or nearly normal. And this can be a source of great frustration. One of the things that disturbs me greatly is sometimes when these tests come back, some physicians will actually tell the patient they don't have neuropathy, there's no way they could because all their tests are normal. Well, what I'm telling you is what the research shows very clearly and what our clinical experience backs up, and that is that many, many times you can have very debilitating symptoms, pain, burning, sleeplessness, numbness, tingling, etc., but yet all your diagnostics are normal. This does not mean you don't have neuropathy, and it also does not mean you don't have something else going on. As I say time after time, day after day, and I write about every week, it's critical to understand is that just because the tests are negative does not mean you don't have neuropathy, and you really need to understand completely, both as a patient and as a healthcare professional, that everything that could possibly cause small fiber neuropathy needs to take a look at. And we, of course, spoke about that in the midsection of tonight's show. So if you missed that, go back and listen to the replay because it's very important. Now, it's also very important to understand that when patients present with small fiber neuropathy symptoms, there are other things that can be causing the symptoms. On a relatively simple level, if you have a problem with the foot, let's say, like a common problem such as plantar fasciitis, which is a chronic inflammation of the soft tissue at the bottom of the foot, those symptoms sometimes can mimic or be, in some cases, identical to a small fiber neuropathy. If you have vascular insufficiency, meaning you've got impaired blood circulation due to blood vessel disease, which can be caused by cigarette smoking, COPD, and metabolic syndrome, the bottom line is that this can cause symptoms very similar to small fiber neuropathy. And also, if you have degenerative disc disease in your lower back, which almost every adult does, this too can cause symptoms that are just like small fiber neuropathy. Now, the other thing I definitely want to mention is that if you have any of these conditions, such as plantar fasciitis and degenerative disc disease in your spine, and you also have small fiber neuropathy, the net result is your condition will be much, much more difficult to treat. And our experience in the clinic tells us is that these particular patients will not get better unless every possible underlying cause of the neuropathy is addressed. And again, I cannot emphasize that enough. Just like trying to treat so many medical conditions by simply replacing one chemical or doing this or doing that without treating the entire patient is a form of treatment that is doomed to failure. This is why in treating patients with peripheral neuropathy who also have spine disease, it's very important to treat the spine concurrently or at the same time. Now, one of the things that our research has uncovered is that 40% of the time that patients who have neuropathy symptoms of the feet, 40% of the time these patients will also have electrodiagnostic evidence of having some nerve compression going on in the spine. So imagine this, you're 55 plus years old, you've been modestly overweight, say 20, 25 pounds, but you've been that way for a long time. The bottom line is that you probably have metabolic syndrome, degenerative disc disease in your spine, and the net result is now you have to deal with both in order to improve the quality of your life and maybe even recover. So again, very, very important thing to understand regarding small fiber neuropathy. Well, I know this is a topic which unfortunately hits home because it is so common, but the most important advice I can leave you with is to understand that small fiber neuropathy is not a one-size-fits-all disorder. It can be caused by many different things. When we talk about the most common, however, it would have to be prediabetes or metabolic syndrome. And this is why when you read our materials online and in our books and listen to our radio shows and watch our TV episodes that we're really fanatical about making sure that our patients have every opportunity to improve the entire quality of their life. Because let's face it, when you have small fiber neuropathy combined with other conditions, these are global problems. These are problems that affect our entire being. And unless you, the patient, and we, the physicians and clinicians, treat our patients holistically. In other words, treat everything that could be contributing to or causing the patient's symptoms, treatment is doomed to fail. And on that note, I'd like to invite you to listen to our previous shows. There's a wealth of knowledge contained here. Also understand that our clinicians are ready to serve you at a moment's notice. You can either contact us via email, and the best current email is patientcare@neuropathydr.com, or you can call either the phone numbers given on this radio show or the numbers that are posted on your local clinician's website. So, again, the major website is neuropathydr.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/beatingneuropathy. Well, once again, we are out of time for tonight. It's been a pleasure and an honor to have you with me, and I look forward to hearing you on the next show. Thank you.